This episode is brought to you by Rev1. Rev1's mission is to help entrepreneurs build great companies. As you navigate the waters of business entrepreneurship, you don't have to go it alone. A strategic partnership with Rev1 connects innovators to the talent, customers, space, and funding you need when you need it. Get started with Rev1 Startup Studio by visiting rev1ventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is rev1ventures.com. .com 614 Startups Nation, welcome to the 614 Startups Podcast. My name is Elio Harmon, back in my favorite seat. Listen, guys, I'm a little bit rusty. If I fumble the rock during this podcast, don't get mad at me. I'm a couple weeks out of practice, but hey, what a great time to come back because I have two very, very exciting founders building a very exciting product. And even more importantly, a big company, right? That's what we want to hear. Who are the folks in Columbus building big companies? And I think I got two guests for you. You can get excited about in the studio today. I have Rob Kibler and a CEO of Dianics Innovation. Welcome, folks.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good to be back. All right, so then, good turn. Yeah. Happy to be here.
Yeah, man, let's jump right into it. You guys are Pitch Columbus veterans, so I've heard it all, right? I know the ins and outs of your company, but I don't want to take for granted that the audience knows who you are. So let's start with a little bit of a personal introduction. I'll go to Asim first, and then Rob. Asim, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a physician by background. I finished medical school back in 2001, went on to do a neurology residency, and then ended up focusing on sleep medicine. And at that time, I really wasn't sure what sleep medicine was, but I thought it was cool. And kind of dove into the fellowship, learned a lot about what we don't know about sleep. And the last 20 years have been really amazed at the advancements we've had in the field. And for the last 10 years, I've been practicing here in Columbus, a private clinic up near Dublin, Ohio, and run a sleep practice, see a lot of patients. We have a research arm, so we do a lot of clinical trial work. And in the last 4 or 5 years, met Rob and his team. I'll let Rob discuss where he's from. But we started kind of working together professionally and then kind of became friends and then saw some areas in the sleep field that needed some work. And we thought maybe we can solve some problems here.
Cool. So should I be calling you Dr. Roy, man, or are we going to stay informal? You know, I'm slipping here, not calling you Dr. Roy.
I prefer the informal approach.
All right, let's do it. All right, Rob, a little bit about you.
Yeah, definitely super informal. I graduated from the Ohio State University in 2012. I kind of got right into entrepreneurship after graduation. I'm a bit more of a professional mutt. Asim has this nice kind of linear focus all on medicine, but I got right out of school and worked in e-commerce and helped a friend of mine grow an online book business on Amazon. I think we started with like 1,000 units in inventory. And when I left in a couple of years, we had over 60,000 units. So when I left that venture, I got into business development and worked in the state of Virginia, traveled around Virginia, and met with insurance agents, basically, and helped my company grow the book of business through insurance agents. 2018, I found dental sleep medicine. Just like any good business idea, I was in Thailand at a wedding, and a really good friend of mine named Brandon Canfield, he's a dentist. He woke up one morning, we were running late for kind of the day's events. So I kind of kicked in the door and said, "Hey man, we're behind. Let's go." Well, he was pulling this device out of his mouth, so I had some questions. So we spent most of the day talking about what this device was. He had just gotten back from this CE course where he learned that dentists could actually treat obstructive sleep apnea with this device called an oral appliance. So we talked the rest of the trip about his just kind of like how he was treating his disease. His passion for this newfound industry and this business idea that he had. So my girlfriend and I, now wife, were looking for an opportunity to make our way back to Ohio. And that opportunity was Ohio Sleep Treatment. So I'm Currently, kind of that's my day job, working at Ohio Sleep Treatment. I do business development and operations, and we specialize in oral appliance therapy for the treatment of sleep apnea. And yeah, about four fateful years ago, I knocked on Dr. Roy's medical practice door, and like he said, we've become pretty good friends and definitely business associates.
All right, man, I have no cleaning tie jokes, so I don't want to get canceled. All right, so let's keep it going in terms of the subject matter, right? What we came here to talk about, which is sleep apnea. Now, I grew up in a household which snores, and I have one brother in particular. And this is a serious thing, but when you don't know, you don't know. So we had this joke for him that, hey, man, you snore so bad, you're going to swallow your tongue. What we didn't know is that, hey, this is a serious medical condition, right? So what is sleep apnea, and how big is this problem? How big is this market of people who are impacted by this medical condition? I'll go to the scene first.
Yeah, so sleep apnea is a big, big problem. So the way we look at it is some people just snore and they're not having any health consequences necessarily, but they're snoring. And that can be bothersome to the bed partner. It can be bothersome to them. Then people start graduating and the snoring can start maybe disrupting their sleep. They don't feel as rested in the morning. And then they may go on and eventually develop sleep apnea. And this process can take a few years or more. Once they are officially diagnosed with sleep apnea, it means they met a criteria. You have to stop breathing for 10 seconds or more, at least 5 times an hour. That's the minimum before we say you have it. The higher that number, the more impact on your health. For example, this is the thing I tell all our patients. If you stop breathing 15 times an hour, there's a number of studies now that have shown that's essentially equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So you can imagine not treating this problem for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It can lead to a lot of cardiac disease, dementia, neurologic issues, stroke, you name it. Sleep is tied to every organ in the body. And when, you know, a few years ago, the World Health Organization came out with a prevalence study, kind of estimating how many people in the world might have sleep apnea. And that study showed about 1 billion people worldwide have sleep apnea.
Yeah, 1 in 8 people is a lot. But you said something very important, which is somebody typically observes the snoring. Let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms for somebody who doesn't have a partner willing to elbow them or that is so disturbed, right? Because of these billion people, I'm sure there are quite a few people who are single. So if I'm single and nobody's elbowing me and trying to drag me to the doctor, what are some signs and symptoms? I'm going to go back to the back here. I'm coming to you, Rob. Stay ready. But what are some of the signs and symptoms of sleep apnea?
Yeah, so there's a group of people that are asymptomatic. That's a more challenging group to figure out, right? Because they don't have many symptoms. But the classic sleep apnea patient will say, I'm waking up multiple times a night. I wake up with headaches in the morning. I have low energy through the day. By the afternoon, I'm falling asleep at my boss's meeting. I can't stay awake. I need an extra cup of coffee or sneak away for a nap. Mood, irritability, that's a common one. You snap a lot easier. If you're essentially sleep deprived, but you might think you got 7-8 hours of sleep, but that quality is not very good. On average, you're reducing that sleep time by 20 to 50%. So you can imagine if you got two, three less hours of sleep, how would you feel in the morning? How would you feel that next day? And that's essentially what's happening to these individuals with sleep apnea.
Yeah, and I imagine that's regardless of when you went to sleep, when you woke up, how much time in bed you had, and those symptoms would persist. So for all you startup founders out there thinking that, oh, yeah, it's just because I'm a founder, you might be, you know, on the spectrum, right? Have that looked at if you're always tired, always fatigued, regardless of when you went to bed, how long you were in bed, when the expectation is that you would wake up rested. All right, Rob, so we see the problem, right? The doc has broken it down for us. Let's talk about solution. What are the options right now? And then how is Dyonics innovating? Right? What are you doing differently?
That's such a good question. And right now there are three sort of main categories of treatments or therapies, right? So The first one most people are familiar with, and honestly, maybe they're a little terrified of. It's called CPAP, right? So CPAP is a machine, a hose, and a mask. And essentially, when you wear a CPAP, you know, air is kind of blown into your lungs. It keeps your airway open, and you're able to breathe and sleep at night, right? So that's kind of, since CPAP has been around, it's long time been the gold standard of therapy. Unfortunately, only about 50% of the people that are prescribed a CPAP wear it successfully. So the second kind of category is surgery, right? So there are a number of different surgical procedures that are used to treat sleep apnea, but probably the most popular one right now is called Inspire. Inspire is a hypoglossal nerve stimulator. It's a permanent implant. And as you would imagine, there's a cost with that. So kind of the third category is oral appliance therapy, right? And that's what we specialize in at Ohio Sleep Treatment. And you can think of an oral appliance much like Invisalign. There's an upper tray and a lower tray that you kind of put into your mouth at night. And each device, each appliance has its own kind of mechanism of action that basically holds your lower jaw forward while you sleep. And as a result, your airway stays open and you're able to breathe. So each one of these therapies kind of has their own set of issues, right? CPAP, it looks like a ventilator. So like the last thing you want to wear when you want to stay alive is a ventilator, you know? And compliance is low and people, again, just aren't using it effectively. Surgery, especially the one that I mentioned, it's surgery, right? Regarding Inspire, I mean, we're talking about a permanent implant, you know, that's forever. Again, there's a high cost to that. So again, it's got its own set of issues. Oral appliances, on the other hand, again, they have their shortcomings. So currently, oral appliances are like the second most prescribed therapy. They're the number one alternative to CPAP. They're just acrylic or they're medical grade nylon. So oral appliances come short because they don't produce efficacy data. So a physician like Dr. Roy can't tell how effective the oral appliance is from night to night in managing that patient's disease. That's a huge problem, right? Because whenever Dr. Roy raised his hand, one of the first things he said is, first, I'll do no harm, right? How could he recommend a therapy if he doesn't know that it's working to the maximum benefit of the patient? And the second large issue with oral appliance therapy, and I think it probably took us a couple pints to really get this out of a seam, was there's no money in it for the medical community. So if I'm a sleep apnea patient and Dr. Roy says, hey, I know you want to try an oral appliance, I've got to send you to a dentist, right? A dental provider. So I go to that dentist and that dentist evaluates me and treats me. That dentist bills medical insurance and they kind of capture the revenue from that oral appliance. So where Dynex saw an opportunity is kind of in this low-hanging fruit of oral appliances, right? So we want to be, I guess I'm kind of dating myself here. You're probably familiar with the term Intel Inside, right? Intel didn't make the computers, but they made the technology to make them better and faster. So we're taking a page out of that book and we're creating the technology to make oral appliances smarter. They produce that efficacy data and they develop a revenue stream for medical providers. So we see that opportunity as a huge opportunity to take a simple, non-invasive, Medicare-approved therapy and transform its place in the treatment industry.
Yeah, great explanation, man. So we got the investors leaning in, right? A billion people potentially that you could treat with this innovation. We got the snorers, but that deny it when people tell them that they're snoring all through the night, right? We got them leaning in. We got the people, right, who are prescribed CPAP, but either aren't using it, or when they use it, they're still miserable. So it's solving the apnea problem, but not the rest problem. You guys got a lot of people leaning in. So if you're leaning in right now, we're going to take a quick break. You know, we got to pay some bills. We'll be right back and see how Asim and Rob plan to go to market.
Support for the 614 Startups podcast comes from Nationwide. Nationwide's mission is to protect people, businesses, and futures with extraordinary care. To help fulfill that mission, Nationwide is looking to invest its $350 million venture capital investment fund in InsurTechs that will help them create new and exciting products and solutions to meet the needs of their customers. If you're interested in partnering with Nationwide's venture capital team, visit nationwideventures.com to learn more. Again, the website is nationwideventures.com. Nationwide is on your side. Today's episode is sponsored by the City of Dublin's Division of Economic Development. The City of Dublin provides world-class tailored business services and resources to ensure the best possible environment for businesses to recruit talent and thrive. Because of this strategic focus and commitment to employer growth, Dublin is the only accredited economic development organization in the state of Ohio. The City of Dublin supports startups and entrepreneurs by offering targeted resources and training programs to grow companies that are financially sustainable, innovative, and committed to creating jobs. Learn how other businesses depend on Dublin. Visit thriveindublinohio.com. This episode is brought to you by KJK. Tired of the billable hour? KJK has a solution. The KJK GC Advantage program offers businesses comprehensive legal services in the areas of employment, corporate services, real estate, trademark, intellectual property, and estate planning, all for a set monthly fee. KJK serves as their clients' partners in business, not just their lawyers. Along with cost certainty and predictability, the KJK GC Advantage program gives clients peace of mind, knowing their projects will be handled quickly and efficiently, maximizing the return on investment on their legal spend. So don't go it alone, let KJK help. Learn more by visiting kjk.com.
614 Startups Nation, welcome back. The conversation continues. We're with Dr. Roy, Asim, and Rob, man. So I'm so excited right now. I don't know, my wife tells me I snore. I'm in full denial, I'm one of those people. All right, but how do you get this product? What's the plan to get this product into the hands of the people who need it?
I can probably take that one, right? So to get it into the mouths of the people that need it, right? Since we're just developing the technology, developing partnerships is really important for us. So we have been very fortunate as a group to partner with the third largest oral appliance manufacturer in North America. The name of that company is Respire Medical. They were they're actually recently purchased by another group, so it's an even larger opportunity for us, which is very exciting. So Respire Medical, they create oral appliances, and we're just kind of developing, again, that technology, right? So within their own user base, they have access to, over 100,000 patients. So for us, that's a great opportunity to kind of market to those existing patients. One of the key points of our technology is, of course, you can embed it into newly fabricated devices, but it also fits in retro to devices that are already on the market. So there are about 3.5 million oral appliances that are on the market or sort of in the sleep ecosystem now. So when we went about developing the technology, that was a huge strategic component for us is, hey, we want to make sure that our technology can work with existing appliances, right? So by partnering with, oral appliance manufacturers, Respire Medical and others, that's one way, one distribution channel for us to kind of get the product into market. And another one is the guy you're talking to right now, right? So sleep clinicians, cardiologists, ENT, and even some primary care docs manage sleep apnea, right? So those are kind of our main customers. So right now, even before our product is FDA approved, we are bringing customers on, right? The folks that are kind of leaning in and the excitement, that's very real in the industry. For a long time, oral appliances have just dragged behind. They haven't had a technology component. They haven't been able to deliver revenue in the same way that CPAP has to the medical community. So, it's been a long time coming. And we're finally at a point with technology and the size of components that, a company like Dynex can deliver that. So we do have customers kind of lined up anywhere from a large multi-state telehealth sleep practice to a group that manages CPAP for commercial truck drivers, which is a huge market for us as well, all the way down to kind of, one or two practitioners at their own sleep clinic. So we are, you know, right now just continuing to establish those relationships so we can kind of launch in a strategic and soft way before we fully commercialize the product.
Okay, great. So you said these are channels to get the product into the hands of customers. Is there currently a barrier that you need or a hurdle, whether FDA, et cetera, to actually have users using the product, people prescribing it? Where are you? How far are you from this being in market right now?
Yeah, so we're really at that stage of getting our clinical validation study done. So we met with the FDA, and what we did was a pre-submission meeting. And this is something I think Rob and I would speak to any company that's going down the FDA route that needs kind of that approval to meet with them ahead of any testing. And so it kind of gave us some guidance on what do we need to do that would satisfy the FDA requirements to get this approved. And basically we're going down a 510K path, basically using some technology that's been around, you know, 7 years ago. There were some sensors in these devices that haven't panned out to be widely used anymore, but we're using it to get us through the FDA basically as a predicate. And that shortens our timeline significantly. Instead of a drawn out 5-year clinical trial, we can hopefully get this done within 6 to 12 months, a validation study showing our sensors actually measure what they do. So the moment we kind of get through the FDA, which again, we have a timeline cushion of about a year, we can get to manufacturing and start commercializing the product right after that.
Well, it doesn't hurt to have three channels right out of the gate, right? So once you have that conversation with the FDA and you guys decide to move forward, having your channels already established ways of getting this product into people's hands is very important. So that was a pro tip there, guys. All right. Dr. Roy is breaking it down. Don't go spending money on testing before you talk to the FDA. Send him a check for how much money he saves you by giving you that pro tip. All right. So now we have our channels. How do we make money, right? Do you have any idea of pricing? Who's going to pay for it? Insurance, private pay? What are your thoughts? What's the business model here?
Yeah, this is a really important discussion and kind of another, you know, I guess semi-pro tip. I wouldn't call us a pro just yet, but, you know, we're in a unique position where Dynex doesn't have to pursue a code, right? So with some, you know, surgical devices or new technologies, you know, you already have a pretty big lift in terms of the regulatory requirements. The clinical trial could be fairly large. Those requirements are difficult to manage. In addition to that, another question to answer would be like, well, how are they going to make money, right? So fortunately, Dynex doesn't have to worry about that. So you can think of like, I like to explain our kind of our revenue strategy with the using three pies, right? So the first sort of pie or opportunity for us, we'll make money when each Tessa is installed into an oral appliance. So like, let's say Elio, let's say, for example, I'm back to being that sleep apnea patient. Dr. Roy has sent me to your dental sleep medicine practice. You evaluate me. I'm a great candidate. You take a scan of my teeth and you send it over to a manufacturer. You indicate to that manufacturer, hey, Rob's physician wants this technology embedded, so let me go ahead and get that. Let me add that technology to this appliance. There is a charge to that. Right now we're estimating about $150. So, and you might be asking yourself, like, why would a dentist want to pay more money, right? What's in it for this dentist, right? So it's simply by adding that technology, that does a couple of things. Number one, it only reduces, so dentists do get reimbursed for the oral appliance already. The oral appliances have a DME code, E0486, and reimbursement for those devices can vary from, you know, $1,500 from Medicare all the way up to $3,000, $4,000 from some commercial payers like TRICARE and Anthem and others, right? So really, when the dentist is like, why would I pay $150? It's only just a small reduction in the reimbursement that they're already receiving, right? And also, by embedding this technology, by the very technology existing, the amount of referrals that now will come in for an oral appliance versus CPAP or for Inspire will increase tremendously. So the referral pool will swell. So you'll be seeing more new patients and billing for more devices. But one of the interesting points about like kind of this intangible time cost. So by embedding the technology, typically, you know, in our practice at Ohio Sleep Treatment, the follow-up care or the follow-up time that we spend with patients, you know, from a 20-minute visit here and a 20-minute visit there, you're talking probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half of dentist time. That comes at a cost, right? Dentists definitely don't work for free. So the time savings and then the subsequent cost of that essentially pays for the technology in itself in addition to the referrals, right? So that's kind of pie one, installation. So we'll make money there. The majority of the heart of our revenue strategy comes from SaaS. So a physician like Dr. Roy, and I'll kick this over to him because he really knows this remote patient monitoring space, but a physician like Dr. Roy, when they're all reviewing and managing sleep apnea patients, that's time, right? That's their own time. That's their staff time. So with the advent of remote patient monitoring codes, they're now able to be reimbursed for that time. So Asim, I'll let you kind of talk about, maybe the codes and how much you're able to bill per patient. And then we'll kind of finish off this pie discussion with the slice for Dianics.
Yeah, so right now the current model out there for remote patient monitoring in the sleep space is around CPAP machines. Because that data can be wirelessly transmitted, I can track a patient's compliance, how well it's working for them every night if I want to look at that data. And if I track that information over a month, that is reimbursable based on the amount of time we've spent with the patient over that 30-day period. And so the rough estimate on depending on the payer you're talking to, whether it's a government plan like Medicare to a commercial plan, you're looking at somewhere between $80 to $120 per month that comes back to the sleep clinic or to a primary care clinic, whoever's looking at this kind of remote data for on the monthly basis. And so from a Dianics world, we will now be able to take a percentage of that because we're providing that data capability on oral appliances, which is non-existent today. So we're creating a completely new market that isn't there as of today.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I mean, you know, you got a little something for the practical side, right? The one-time payment. Now you guys are introducing the SaaS component as well. And now you have a third component, which is interesting. So Rob, jump in there. What's that third thing that completes kind of the trifecta of your business model?
Yeah, the third pie is very simple, right? It's a subscription fee. So for each physician that accesses the platform and uses that to kind of build this recurring revenue, it's just a simple fee there of also $24 a month, right? So this could be a sleep physician that's managing, you know, 50 patients a month or 500 patients a month. So we just charge a simple access fee for that data. So those are kind of the three Dianics pies of revenue.
That's awesome, man. And so you have three ways to experiment, actually, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that every single revenue model might be ideal. One might suppress implementation, right? So maybe if the implementation costs, they balk at it. Well, the goal is to just get more devices out there because one, yeah, you want to make money, but two, you want to help people.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's all part of being in a startup. I love the fact that you guys are right out of the gate testing all of those options and seeing which ones are ideal when you go to market after you talk to the FDA. Guys, FDA, call me. All right. Talk to these guys. Let's talk milestones. We already talked about what you need to do with the FDA, but set the FDA aside right now, just the pure building a startup, day-to-day milestones. What does that look like over the next 12 months? I got to ask you about funding. You were at Pitch Columbus after all. Talk to me about milestones.
Yeah, funding's probably one we can just address first, right? So we've been fortunate enough to kind of bootstrap most of the project up until kind of recently. So the things that we're talking about, you know, verification and validation testing, biocompatibility testing, building out, you know, software, cloud infrastructure. These are big ticket items. And I don't know, I can't speak on Asim's behalf, but I don't know if I stay married anymore, Elio, if I continue to put my own money into this business. So we do have to go out. We do have to raise funds. We are currently raising a seed round, $1.2 million. That'll take us kind of through FDA, you know, getting all these milestones through the FDA and actually get us kind of to approval, right? This seed will actually get us to a sizable Series A. We've been fortunate enough to collaborate with a couple of local investors and kind of come to terms as a seed investor. So we have a big chunk of that round kind of circled already. And we have a couple of soft circles. So we're, you know, golly, that funding, that fundraising trail is brutal right now. It's and I'm sure we're not the first founder group to come on here and say that. It's been a rough journey. It's been there's a lot of, you know, soul searching, self guessing. But man, it's it feels good to kind of to be a little more on the other side of that at this point. So, but yeah, so that's, you know, funding is a huge milestone. Obviously, we've kind of got our, like our beta version of prototype, you know, for the most part all wrapped up. So we're really working on our cloud infrastructure, focusing on prepping for the preclinical trial. So getting all of our testing in order, and then, you know, really executing on that clinical trial, right? It'll be about recruiting the patients and making sure that the devices are working correctly, collecting that data, and then analyzing that and you know, handing that off to FDA in our 510K submission.
Yeah, awesome, Rob. I appreciate you sharing that. And now that you're on the 614 Startups podcast, dude, fundraising is just going to become so much easier. All right, this is what this platform is about. It's a money machine over here. All right,
I just got a couple calls, a couple texts. So if I got to step off to take one, Eli, I'm sorry. It's because of the podcast. Guarantee it.
It happens all the time, man. Even though this is not live right now, it happens like that. Okay, people just feel you talking to me. And call you. All right. So, Asim, anything we missed you want to talk about before I give the folks my final word?
No, I think the biggest thing is, you know, I think what's unique about us is the how lucky we've been in terms of surrounding a team of experts that have expertise in different areas. And we've surrounded ourselves with some engineers. We've been very lucky and fortunate to meet some key players that have really accelerated our growth and our ability to do some things at a lower cost. And then I think one thing we didn't really harp on was the IP side of things. And I think meeting with someone who has a good background on the patent landscape, on how to strategize, look at your competition, what's out there that might interfere with what you're doing, and how do you navigate that space? Because you don't want to bring a product to market and then find out later someone's doing that already and you've infringed on their work. So for us, that's been an important piece. And I think we've positioned ourselves well to either exit or license or whatnot because we have a decent control of what we're doing ourselves.
Yeah, protect that IP. All right, folks, you've been listening to my conversation with Asim Roy and Rob Kibler of Dianex Innovation. If you don't know this company, put them on your watch list. Hit the website, get the phone number, get the email, hit them up, have a conversation, have coffee, and let's do some business. All right, my final word, what I like about this team, okay? I like the opposites attracting here. You guys can see it, okay? Two skill sets, maybe more, maybe there are some other people on the team, advisory board and all of that stuff, coming together to build a great product. Guys, if you are a solo founder out there, do not fear the co-founder conversation. Yes, you can do it alone, but this is a lonely journey. I'm trying to do it, and I know what I'm talking about. So to see two founders working together to make the dream happen makes me happy. All right, folks, this is the Marijuana Startup Podcast in the city. If you're not subscribed, slap yourself. Until next time, peace.
That's a wrap, folks. You can find this and all our episodes on our website, 614startups.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. Don't forget to subscribe and write a review. If you'd like updates sent directly to your inbox, you can sign up for our weekly newsletter on the website. To engage in the 614 Startups community, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at 614 Startups on all platforms and join the conversation. For sponsorship opportunities and collaborations, email us at info@614startups.com.